Okay, so let's begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, August 26, 2013. It is 6:04 p.m. Kara Gadley Junior High. The first order of business will be the review and approval of minutes from August 12, 2013 meeting. Would you please take a moment and let me know if those notes meet with your approval. Are we good?
These minutes are public, right, Bob? These minutes are public.
They become part of our packet.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we need to make any explicit conversations and such to this 300,000 number 4-5 as it relates to no money is coming out. We're not asking for money. This is coming directly out of capital funds. I'm good with it. Do we think it's clear enough for the person that's going to pull this up?
Well, we generally don't get real specific around finance committee meeting notes.
Okay.
Just generally try to capture the essence of a conversation that took place.
Okay.
And if you'd like, I can reiterate, those funds have been budgeted. I budgeted $400,000 in professional fees out of the operation and maintenance fund for the current fiscal year that we're in. So no additional funds will be necessary to move this, to do this work through this next fiscal year. Actually, through the current fiscal year.
Through the current. Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, then we'll move on to the first order of business this evening, and that is the transfer fund from the education fund to the debt service fund. This is something that we do annually about this time of year, and that is that according to the Illinois Program Accounting Manual, which is sort of the accountant's guide to Illinois school finance, obviously in the state of Illinois, I am required to account for all capitalized leases, and that is a lease where we're going to ultimately purchase the particular asset. I am required to account for them, first of all, through the education fund, and then expend the funds through the debt service fund, or the bond and interest fund. We have about $318,000, actually, between principal and interest. It's a little bit less than that, but I rounded it to $318,000 that will be transferred from the debt service fund so that we can pay these leases over the next couple of months. I'll pay them. We'll make the transfer on or before February 15th, and these are for operating leases such as security cameras, computers, desktop computers, smart boards, computer switching equipment, and wireless network equipment. Some of these leases will be coming off in the next year or so. Generally speaking, this is obviously Mike in technology leads the conversation, but Mike and I will have conversation back and forth. Is it an asset that will last us more than 3 years? Does it have a sustainable life beyond a 3-year period? And if it does, in this case or in the case of a lot of these types of assets, we're thinking they're going to last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. So why not pay them off at a small rate of interest for over a 3 or 4 or 5 year period? And I believe these are all 3-year leases. And then we have the asset beyond the 3-year payment period. So that's a decision that we make annually whenever we're looking at different types of assets. Now, I'll tell you, when we go and we look at things like laptops or the iPads, generally we lease those for 3 years, we turn them back to the vendor. These are considered capital assets that we will keep for a number of years, and that's why we choose to purchase them over a number of years. To give you an example, I believe the capital costs for these are about $295,000, $292,000, and the balance would be the interest involved in that, so $20-some thousand. So we'll be making this transfer. We're going to walk it through the board, through the finance committee this evening, then the board at the next board meeting for discussion, and then finally for action, and we'll transfer those funds when they've finally been approved by the board. Are there any questions?
I have a more general question.
Sure.
Based on what you just said, I'm fine with the recommendation that you're making here. So my question, it just came up to me now. If we're my guess is this is furniture and other things like
this
that.
This is technology-related equipment.
Technology-related 100%.
Correct.
Can we do it with anything else besides technology? I mean, what can we do? Because in my mind, you're leasing equipment. What
correct.
Other equipment can we lease that's in technology? Other things or no?
I think you could we generally keep it to technology, but my bet is, and I don't know this for a fact, but you could probably do it with other types of capital equipment, not for the acquisition of a building or something along those
but
lines.
But furnishing a building.
Furnishing a building.
And the reason that comes to mind is I look at the raw, it's not raw budgets, the proposed budgets, the preliminary budgets, there's the word I'm looking for future facilities. And there's line items in there for that that are at the whole cost.
Correct.
There's other ways to finance things, as we learned through technology in this example.
That's correct.
So one of my thoughts is simply, if there's other ways to finance things, once again, a funding source for new facilities, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily brick and mortar, that makes sense, but how we outfit those buildings may be able to be
a different
funding source mm-hmm. than
so,
purchase them out.
So with Joe's idea there, Bob, are we, as it goes to the full board's vote and we say this is for technology, are we tied to technology or would we have to go back for a vote, another board vote if we decide technology plus?
Well, this is already something that's set for this year.
Yeah.
I think Joe's reference would be more for future years.
Future years.
The budget's pretty much set right now for all the capital assets that we're going to acquire this year.
Yeah.
But that would be something that I would want to look into for future years to see if there's an alternative.
But we're looking at future years in 2 months.
That's right. You'll be looking at that December, January,
February. So, no, back to
the face pretty quickly.
Yeah. No, it's a great question, and I'll do mm-hmm. some investigation on it. Maybe we can follow it up with a little conversation at the next meeting, at the next finance or board meeting, whatever that may be. But it's a good idea. I'll look into the financing of equipment. You know, we use, like, we've been in this 21st century replacement of
right.
equipment.
Yeah.
Maybe we outfit an addition, or maybe we outfit a building through a capital lease program. I'm not going to promise that, but I will look into it and get you an answer.
Sure. Bob, the actual transfer is really more perfunctory than anything.
All it is. Because it's my way of accounting for the purchase of these assets, or in this case, lease payments.
And it's driven by the school code.
It's driven by the Illinois Program Accounting Manual and our accountants. If I don't do it, they're going to do it for me.
Okay.
They'll do it at the close of the year.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think when we do this every year.
And you do it every year. And I would rather do it than have an accountant come in and say, you know, you forgot to do this.
Right.
Or didn't do this
right.
or whatever.
I agree.
Because they will make... They will make the reclassification for
us. This is great. Thanks.
Then, really, the final order of business, second order of business, Ren, is just to go over the 2013 fiscal year results. Mike, do we have that spreadsheet? See how our new equipment works here. And, you know, just a couple of rather cautionary words. This is... We never used to be able to do that. Smartboards were much smaller. But remember, this is all on a cash basis. The accountants are going to come in. The accountants they did their preliminary work in June. They're actually coming back next week, and they will be in our offices for 2 or 3 weeks, and they'll be putting together the annual financial report and all the reporting documents that we complete. So what I typically do about this time of year is I will just walk through each individual item and just kind of give you an idea of the numbers and what's involved with the classification and then the number itself. So if you don't mind, I'll get started. Alrighty. First item there is property taxes. That's your real estate taxes on your home. You'll notice that, or I should say, on your real estate, not just necessarily your home. You notice that we're $1.7 million over. That is the spring receipt of property taxes as a result of the abatement that we did a year and a half ago. We abated in December of 2011. The receipt of those taxes are actually due, are coming in now. And when I do all of our financial statements are all on a cash basis. So all of this is recognizing the fact that we receive those taxes. The auditors are going to take that money and accrue it back to the appropriate fiscal year, which is it was levied and intended for 2013-14 school year, where this financial report is as of June 30th, 2013. So it's for the 12-13 school year. Okay? Our personal property replacement taxes actually came in pretty nicely this year, almost $85,000 over budget. Very unexpected. I know just a couple of years ago we were really hurting in this source of revenue. It was a result of the significant decline in the economic environment here in the state of Illinois. And so this is a nice rebound for it. It's an indication of where things are at fiscally in the state of Illinois and that we're receiving. This is getting to be a nice revenue source again. Tuition. Tuition is for tuition that we charge kids coming into our district, and more particularly, this would be more for a special ed type of tuition and things of that nature. These are for kids from other school districts that we're housing their programs in our district, and this is the receipt and recognition of those dollars.
So that looks a little short for the year?
A little short. Really difficult to project.
So I was going to say, do we have more capacity? Could we have handled more students than we had?
The reason we can't handle any more kids is because of our facility issues. We are struggling right now to meet the needs of our own kids as regular education as well as special education. And I'll tell you, I just was talking to Jen Law this afternoon. She says, you know, Bob, I've got some angry folks at me, or angry people over at Franklin about the placement of some kids, some special ed kids, and they weren't happy with the particular classroom.
Yes.
Parents were concerned that it was less than what they expected their child to be. So I don't know if that's filtered through to the board yet or even Paul.
I think some of it has. But it's good to know that happens.
Yeah. So, field trips. You know, this is really a small revenue source. This is the fees that we charge families, we charge kids for their child to attend field trips, whether it's the Robert Crown Center, whether it's the park. And to be honest with you, I don't really know exactly where they go to all their field trips. But this is for their yearly field trips. And it's worth about $30,000 a year. Interest earnings. You know, this is a number that I have expressed concern over for a number of years. I can remember when I got here 7 years ago, that represented $1.2 million of a revenue source. You see, this year it came in at about $89,000. So significantly less than what we're accustomed to. And you know, if I could equate this to personnel, 15, 20 people between salary and benefits. Okay? Food service. You know, this was the first year that we implemented the food service program at the elementary school. We probably over-projected our revenue estimates. Not probably, but we did over-project them. And also, it was the first year we were part of the National School Lunch Program. So we're hoping that this revenue source is going to certainly catch up beyond the $300,000 shortfall that we had projected earlier this year. As it was, I believe we used to collect about $175,000, $180,000 in food service fees, and now it's up to almost $370,000. So we look for this revenue source to continue to grow through the years. Donations and miscellaneous revenue, truly that is sort of a catch-all for developer donations and any other type of miscellaneous revenue that we receive. In particular, we received a grant from a lady, her family donated. If you'll notice those new cabinets that are in the hallway as you walk in at the front door here, she donated $25,000 to the district, to the music program, and that's what the music program designated for us to use those resources with. And again, developer donations. I will tell you, it's been a nice stream to see come in, because we have really been lacking for the past 4, 5, 6 years for developer donations. I know that I've seen 25,000 come in 1 month in the past 4 or 5 months. So a nice revenue source.
Do you know what those were tied to? Were those homes or were they commercial developments?
I believe they were homes.
That's a clear sign that our student enrollment would be increasing.
Well, especially with the size homes that are generally in this in this type of furniture.
And you can actually see that because it's by number of bedroom that they're charged.
Yeah, and they, what they do is they come through the village. Mm-hmm. So Glendale Heights, all the villages collect them for us, and then they turn them over to us. Now, they started a senior citizen housing development right off of North Avenue behind Portillo's.
Okay.
I haven't seen that money yet, and I will tell you that things are a bit contentious with Glendale Heights between TIF districts and whatever else. So I would expect to see that money, and just we have not received it yet. Unrestricted state funds is your general state aid. I believe I've been making you aware of the fact over the year that it looked like general state aid, they were going to prorate. And actually what they did is they just, typically we get, let's say, $115,000 a month. We get them in two payments, and there's 22 payments made a year. This year we got 21 payments. So they skipped that last payment. Not so bad considering if 3 or 4 years ago they were behind. I know this time of year we had probably received maybe 400 of $1.3 million or $1.5 million that we were talking about.
So you were saying in earlier meetings, earlier in the year, that you thought it would come in this range anyway. I think you were predicting that you'd be somewhere between the 3 to 8% short.
Yeah, I was saying about 5% originally, and then we took another 5% off when we did the 14 budget. That's what they're telling me. Is we can expect this year's general state aid to come in about 88 to 90% of where it was 2 years ago. Restricted state funds. You know, there's a significant difference between the unrestricted, which is general state aid and only general state aid, and then the restricted state funds, which really are things like transportation, but primarily, let me just speak to transportation, because somebody emailed me not too long ago about, well, how much do we receive in regular, how much do we receive in transportation reimbursement? It's about $20,000 a year in regular student transportation, and it's about $360,000 a year in special education. Now, I will tell you, 4 years ago, we were getting $400,000 a year in regular student reimbursement for transportation. So you see that we've gone from $400,000 to now about $20,000. And that may actually go away. If the Chicago area legislators have their dreams, because most everybody in the city of Chicago, they take public transportation. They take the CTA to school. We don't have that luxury out here. All of our kids are bused. Bused meaning from private transportation companies, or in some districts that I've worked in where we maintain our own transportation fleet. Patrick, you were asking a short time ago about federal funds. Right here, we received almost $695,000 last year for federal funds, and that's across the variety of different types of programs. And I believe I budgeted right in that area again. Not too much, certainly not any more, and not much less than that. And then fund transfers.
Is that where Title I comes in?
Yeah, that's where all the title programs come in. Title I, two, three.
So, Bob, so that's, this is where, I don't know if we want to make it a formal point of the agenda or whatever, but if we can, I'd like to, if this federal fund is Title I, Title II, Title III, whatever it is, if you could tell us the funds that are appropriated that link us to the Child No Left Behind STEP disciplinary programs. So what we could find is if we're getting $1,000 a year and we're forcing ourselves as an administration to go through these five, six steps of discipline because we're not meeting certain targets, I think as a board we should say, okay, is $1,000 worth the grief that we're going to have to see in 2 years for Churchill? I know it's more than $1,000.
No, I understand your question. So that would be a question Paul and I would have to sit down and work with, because I'm sure he's much more of a title expert than I am.
Okay.
But all of the programs, and there's a half dozen of them, we have a clear, we have an identified line item for each one of those. So that's, we can get that question
answered. Okay, we actually.
So yeah, would you make a note of that, Carolyn, for us?
At the finance next time, and we can start having a more insightful, transparent conversation of, okay, this is this is what we're tying our assumed to. Is this?
You know, we might want to do it to finance, or we might want to include it in your board update or something along those lines, so all board members receive it also.
Well, that's fine, but I think at finance, I want to say if it's $600,000 here or $200,000 here, let's take a look at our budget and see if it can be pulled, pushed.
Yep,
in our different directions.
Well, yeah. I mean, it might be a negative arbitrage for us. I understand where you're going. I mean, the whole Common Core is negative.
Yeah.
Bob, can we go back to the food service?
Sure.
The big swing there in terms of what we were anticipated and what we got, is that just we ended up with less than we were budgeted?
Less than what we were budgeted, but significantly more than we received last year. We received $186,000. I think I'm reading the right item.
$186,437
last year. $360,000. It's almost $200,000 more associated to elementary school sales and then the National Lunch Program reimbursement. Now, don't forget that we're instituting a breakfast program. This next year, as a matter of fact, this next year is this next year. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, we start the breakfast program.
Well, I guess my question is, again, we budgeted $715, and we're off so much. Is that the $715, was that based on what we anticipated? I mean, what was the genesis?
I would say those were some. Well, let me be honest with you. It was an overestimation of what we anticipated receiving. It's, you know, for lack of a better.
But you didn't have historic data to do it.
I had nothing to
without historic data.
The bad number.
But as we drop down, we're going to see that the expense is trapping.
Absolutely, they're associated with one.
So it was just a.
What we under recognized in revenue, you were going to underspend in regards to the expenditure line item.
So there's a correlation.
There's a correlation. And Mike, if you would, or who's running? Mike's running this. If you would scroll up, please. Here you go. That line item would come right under purchase services, and we underspent purchase services by $242,000. Now there's other line items that we overspent. There, by to give you an example, I think transportation was one of the items that we overspent.
But if you have a separate. Separate line item.
I do.
If you broke out food service, it would be closely aligned with one another.
It would be closely aligned with one another. And I do maintain separate line items. As I told you before, I probably have an expenditure budget with 2,000 line items. And so those are all kept separate. Here, to try to make this as concise as possible, we combine a lot of information. But they are all included under an object code, the 1 through the 600 for salaries, benefits, so forth and so on. And those are categories that I'm required to align my expenditures, my revenues and expenditures, by the Illinois Program Accounting Manual, by requirement. Okay? So, to give you a little idea, we underspent salaries by $202,000. That represented, I believe, 0.0073%, or less than, pretty small number. Okay, $202,000 out of a $27 million line. Benefits, we underspent by $159,000. Purchase services, $242,000. Again, that's made up of a lot of different types of purchase services. Attorney's fees, professional fees, transportation, food service, so forth and so on. Supplies and materials, $199,000. Capital outlay, this would be for our capital projects that we did this year. We underspent there by $195,000. And, we underspent this project here by about $80,000 in terms of overall payments. So you can see an example. We managed our numbers, we managed the project, and it ended up, as an example, we were really delivered early and under budget. Dues and fees, really a small part of the budget. I think we underspent that by $2,900. Principal and interest payments, they should be right on all the time because the county court gives me the levy for principal and interest. So that was pretty close right on. And then We were talking earlier this evening, tuition. These are tuition payments that we as a district, that District 41, makes to other districts. So we were talking earlier, we take in $200,000, but we pay out $2 million. And I know that we pay pretty significant money to District 89, District 15 house a lot of our programs. That sound about right, Paul?
It does.
Yeah. District 89, who has had drop off in enrollment over the past several years, and District 15, Marquardt, has excess capacity too. So those are two districts that house a lot of the CASE programs and CASEs, the special ed cooperative of all the Glen Bard consortium districts.
And that's Bob and I talked about getting a chart that illustrates.
Yeah. What I'm going to do, I've already asked Gail in my office to pull me down everything that we paid for CASE and paid for tuition payments this year. So I'm going to put something together. I'll put together a spreadsheet with a presentation that shows you where we're spending our dollars.
That goes, you know, I look at that as an outsourcing business. I don't know how much it's that they don't have facilities. But we clearly can't house all those students, so we're taking them outside of district, and that
expense. I will tell you that in my mind, 95% or 90% of it is because we cannot house them in our own district. And I talked to my member assistant superintendents over at 89 or 15. They're always kind of grumbling because we can't house them in our own school. They house themselves. So I will typically, you know, you'll see the bill. $100,000 to District 89 or $100,000 to District 15. Pretty sizable programs, and I'm telling you, some of those kids are $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. Nothing we can do about it.
Right.
It is what it is.
Well, see, I look at it, and but I break it down, and then the child's going somewhere else. There's cost that, you know, transportation, there's the facilities cost of housing that kid. Clearly, if we, you know, we have educators and other costs that if we house them in our facilities, we have anyways. But there's a lot that we wouldn't have. And ultimately, that's a number that we, once again, have to get out and inform people that if we do these facility upgrades and we facility to house our children correctly in 21st century settings, then you're going to see that number drop significantly. And by the way, it's going to increase if we don't.
They're charging more and more for those.
Yeah, they're charging more and more, and we're going to have more kids that fall into those groups over time.
And as an example, we just mentioned earlier about some parental complaints we're hearing about the space that we have in over at Frank.
Yeah.
We just don't have the space. And I know that they don't dedicate a classroom for an MIP or a GIP classroom just because they're MIP or GIP. I mean, it just so happens that that was the classroom that. That was available. And we have less than ideal spots to put kids. You know, we put this addition on down the hallway here with three classrooms, but those are much. Patrick, I took you down there a couple weeks ago. It's larger than a typical classroom. They have bathrooms within the classroom. We have what they call a quiet room. Kids who need to, usually I believe it's related to autistic children where they need to be by themselves or an adult for a period of time to get them to calm down. That was a project that we did about 4 years ago. And we were fortunate. You know, you talk about federal funds. We received almost $800,000 from the federal government that particular year. So that year we probably got $1.9 million or $2 million. But that building cost us $1.2 million, but $800,000 of it was paid for it through federal stimulus funds.
And Bob, are those negotiated payments on a long-term lease program, or is it a year-by-year?
These tuitions?
Yeah.
These tuitions, we get a bill in the mail.
Yep.
Typically what it is a person sitting in my seat will say, okay, how much does it cost for psych services? How much does it cost for an MIP teacher or a GIP teacher? How much are their salaries and benefits? And then they'll take in their supplies and everything else associated with that program. And they take the total cost of that program, they divide it by the number of kids in the program, that's the cost that I'm doing. There really isn't a lot of negotiation. I send bills to districts like that, and they send them back to us.
So, Paul, how do we capture this point as well as other points when we're talking about buildings and structure? how do we have a working document somewhere that we can, like we have the parking lot. We got to make sure that when we're talking and we're communicating to the community, that it's not only Old Bay planter gardens and getting the portables, but $2 million is going out the door a year for this type of pollution.
Not to mention the kids in our district then have to travel outside of our district. And so, right.
so there's a transportation expense.
Right, well, it's true.
There are expense,
but it's a hassle for the students.
Right.
You know, if they could just come to the school like the other kids, that would be a benefit. That's
because it, I mean, these are important topics that we want to make sure that when we pull out the building plan, it's like, oh yeah, we visited this in August, and let's make sure that this is presented and part of it.
Yeah, that, ultimately, we have to dig through these numbers as we go.
Yeah.
Keep pinpointing, and then we have this master list.
Yeah.
Of cost savings. I mean, there's all this, you know, regions, you know, time that the student goes across, you know, suburb and half, how do you grab it? But we have to still stay there.
Yeah.
So if you say, how many hours are spent for screening?
Some of those are soft costs. And those actually are probably the students who are getting more of that.
All right. So from a finance group, do we create our own document and then just say, hey, Bob, you can throw this one on the structure document?
And that's remind everybody every year. Because it's, you know, reminding everybody who's not here on the board, that's great. Yeah. But ultimately, who will remind them that people are in the community, right? Because we should see these costs. Dollar for dollar costs.
Yeah, they're decision points that when we make a decision, it's like, okay, is it going to just be a pre-K, or are we also going to include this
before
$2 million going out the door?
Because to educate students with specialized instruction is generally 2 to 5 times more expensive than educating a regular education student. And those aren't the students that, like Bob was saying, we're sending one individual student out to, I can't remember, Texas, and
with
80,000
Colorado.
There, yeah. It is some significant money, and many districts do that because there are some things we just can't do. There are some things that other people do.
We might have one or two or three kids.
Yeah.
A particular issue.
But I get where you're going with that. In these larger programs, can we develop space to get together these larger programs
with those kids?
In another thing, whether it be
half
or 15 or pull it up.
That runs into the cost of
the facility. Because this cost isn't going to go down.
Nope, it'll go up. It'll only go up.
It also goes the other way. Your facilities become an income producer. If you have the facilities and you're the ones with 15 kids and we can throw 5 on them or 20, suddenly we're taking revenue in.
Yeah.
And it all depends on the long range master facility plan, what you're going to do. Some of these things are going to be sending kids to other states. It may be a case where there's other people in the world doing the same thing. We would be able to provide the facility and the expertise in it. We might be able to help a lot of kids go a lot less distance if we decided we wanted to do that.
We had that in them as well, where we knew there was a need.
There you go.
We built a program. It's become one of the best programs in the metro area, and other people would say, but it's significant money. We had to build a facility and hire the right people, because these people, yeah, they don't come at the same cost as a normal teacher. I mean, it's a lot of, but it does bring in revenue over time. Not in the short term, but in the long term, it can produce revenue.
And we are, you know, there's certain things where our hands are tied.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we are part of the special ed cooperative.
Yeah.
We sit on the board for
it. Yeah, I sit on the board for it.
And cases are cooperative, and we spend a lot of money with cases. I mean, you'll see the bills every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
$600,000, $500,000, whatever the case may be, it's pretty substantial.
So when we go down this path of building structure, and you know, we want to have GDM to start doing the building stuff, how do we make sure that build something that replaces $2 million of expense that's going out for special needs?
So what Bob and I will do is work with Jen, Katie, and Karen to say, what are our largest program needs? How many students are we sending out of district for which program? Is it our MIP program? Is it which acronym are we sending out for the most? And is that a program that we can have within district? So those are the questions that we'll start asking.
I don't know if it's transportation,
yep,
insurance,
Most of it would probably be personnel.
It's
personnel.
Okay. When you're talking education, it's 75% of your cost for personnel.
And like for many students who have autism or on the spectrum, a lot of times you have to have the right facility. You have to have instruments within the facility to support them. So those costs would have to be looked at. I agree with Bob that 80-85% of the cost will be personnel.
So you'll get that for those guys?
Yep. Okay. We'll start having those conversations.
Plus the cost of the facility.
Yep. So you got to have the space.
Yeah. But if you're adding space on,
it's in the long range plan.
Kind of like we do over there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was kind of a godsend.
That was a great project.
Yeah.
Gained 6,000 square foot in this building and Paul's extension length. And the federal government paid $45,000. Three quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It was absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, there was talk about trying to spend it on something other than capital costs. My recommendation is it's a one-time deal. There were a lot of districts that went out
of
districts. People. And what happened? You got the money of 1 or 2 years and then the people had to go away. Now we've got an asset that we live this for the next one.
Right. Well, as I recall, our option was either to build two rooms or the third room.
Yeah, and for extra thousand.
The second, for the two rooms, it would have been pretty much all of the stimulus money. But it made a lot of sense to do that third room. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that federal money tied do they say 100% of the capital has to be allocated to 100% of the program or structure, or do they say kind of like an ABA law where it's 20-30% of it has to be tied to that, the other you can use?
You know, I don't know that there's any specific rules on this particular project, the one here.
But like if we do a $2 million and if we say, hey, listen, if we can build a wing of a school and if we allocate 30% of that wing to our special needs programs, the federal government will pay for the wing.
You can look into special grants, but generally there's not a whole
lot. What you would look for is to be able to house a program in our district that we're currently sending out.
Okay. It would be that's what you were talking about. We would have to upfront the cost and hopefully long-term be able to benefit our kids, plus maybe
but that's
kids.
Also
I mean, those are two of them. There's a lot of
funds available. Millions and millions of dollars. Most of them were spent on personnel rather than
this is a great decision to make where we spent it on a capital asset.
Yep.
But this specific project was designated for a part of the original stimulus going back, I think, to 2009 or 2010. So it was a special thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a one-time deal. Well, that's all I have for this evening. I thought maybe. Well, first of all, that's all for the agenda. I had some questions come up for particular committee members. We said we were going to go through bills, and what I did is,
you know, I like this format. We ask you for questions, and you just publish it out there and say, this is what you asked, this is what the answer was.
Good. It is nice to get it on the record as well.
Yeah.
So it verifies, as board members, we're looking at specific invoices and are kind of doing our job with that.
So we said we were going to review things monthly, you know, every finance committee meeting. So in particular, you asked for documentation on a click bill, and it gets clicked. This is what we pay in total for our property casualty, workman's comp, student accident, board liability, boiler insurance. I mean, there's a whole, you can see a whole sheet here of all the different types of insurances and their costs.
Perfect.
And is that
as it goes all the way through.
Is that that's a cooperative?
That's a cooperative that's made up of about 150, 160 school districts. We belong to a cooperative for all of our property casualty. Let's call it all non-medical. Then we joined a cooperative about 3 years ago for our medical and dental insurance. And so far, it's really been a heaven sent. Just to give you an example, because I'm waiting for someone to say, hey, why don't you take this out for bid? Well, I took previous districts, I took the property casualty and all that insurance out to bid. And
as an individual school district, when you're standing alone, no one can touch not only the rates, but the types, like the volume of coverage. Like in our cooperative here, they, we have like $1 billion in building coverage. The most I could ever get is $8 or $10 million. No one would ever buy that type of exposure for the type of premium that I do feel willing to pay. I took two other districts out to bid, and the savings were, there were no savings. It was $25,000 to $65,000 a year more expensive by standing alone and going out for bid. I'm sure
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get more guess that question.
So Bob, I'm, you know, you're going to be here in the next 10, 15 years. I'm not.
We're here together, baby.
So, so the next board member doesn't ask, why are we spending $281,000? Do you want to put just P&L property casually on here? Just, again, somebody pulls this up on our website, new board member, I won't ask again what that is.
But I put it when we did the spreadsheets. What I'm trying to do is I'm going through those spreadsheets that we said we were going to post. I'm trying to come up with a little greater description.
Okay.
You know,
great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So the next one you asked about was
Soaring Eagle.
Yeah, Soaring Eagle, and this is for a special ed child. We don't put names on the bills.
That's a great example of what we just talked about.
No, Soaring Eagle is local, and let me see, Soaring Eagle Academy is in Burr Ridge, and I think it looks like we have one child there.
Do you know what
the program? No, we don't. We don't talk about that.
It's very, very significant. If it's one kid going to one program, it is extremely significant needs.
We don't put
something probably beyond.
Even if we did what Patrick was talking about, we'd still need
it's
so
beyond,
much.
It's beyond
Case.
Correct.
That's a good way of looking at it.
It's probably a
pretty significantly impacted child.
Okay. So that's the special ed that you asked for. And then here is the Kansas State Bank. We have, they do a lot of financing for us, and this is an example of some of the equipment that we leased through them.
Do you want those part of the record?
What do you think, Carolyn? State Bank, you know, maybe if you want to do it. The others,
or I'd rather not.
Yeah. Thanks for telling me what it is. It helps me as a board member. Yeah. It's on the record. Makes me to be on record. I don't think so.
It's just a good conversation that we're having. So at least the community knows that there's oversight, that there's public dialogue in terms of what a particular expenditure is about, and that you folks are questioning me and my department in terms of how we spend our dollars. So I'm always happy to answer a question. I've sat with citizens before, taxpayers before, and I will tell you that there's a spreadsheet of numbers, and I can tell you what vendor it was for and what service it was for, about 99%.
But we as a finance team have some.
I know it's true.
So producer of
this is good.
This is a great venue for this. I thank you, Bob, for doing this.
We have all our board meetings.
I was just going to say, we built a really good facility because this has been a very good time. And we all moved into this furniture.
Look at everybody.
We had a great conversation.
You know,
that's what happens in schools.
I mean, I do think we should have one of our meetings in the quarter. And I'm dead serious. Because people don't know about it.
No.
It's happening.
No, I got one in the back of Lincoln.
I know what you mean.
In the next 2 weeks.
That might have been the best one to pick before. But it would be the one in Churchill that lost its wall that one day would have been the one to pick too. So,
but there's a reason being in this room tonight.
No, I mean, I think
things can happen.
This has been a nice conversation.
Yeah.
It's been a very
conversation. I walked over to Dean, and I felt like I'm at a conference.
But this is what boards do. I mean, boards really should take credit for these types of facilities. These don't happen by staff members alone. Boards have to say, yes, move forward, spend this type of money to build these types of facilities. This is something our board should be really proud of. This is what you guys did.
I wasn't here.
And I'll take the credit.
But you should. We're the ones.
But let's continue to use this to make that point. What we're about to do with some of the other people, and let's use the trailer to make that.
I'm not closing the conversation. Just
about somebody telling you. Did you have any more?
No, I thought we would just have some conversation. No, I think I answered everybody's questions.
You want to close?
So we will close this evening's meeting then.